This morning, we have a founding pillar of our community sharing a word with us. It's Johnny Bell. For those of you who don't know him, him and his wife Delesti helped establish this church originally 20-something years ago. And this morning, Johnny will be sharing a message with us. So thank you, Johnny.
Good morning. before I start, well, the last time after my last message here, I met George in the street, and George said to me, thanked me for what the message meant to him, and he said, "Man, but you do get emotional." This morning, I'm going to try to be as unemotional as possible. But with all this going on here in front, it was very difficult for me. And before I start, I've got another. You know, this morning, while I was reading the scriptures, the simplicity of it all, and I'm reading for you, to you from the Message, because it's so simple and plain. And this has got nothing to do with my message, but I just want to read it to you. So this is from Acts 19. It says, "Now it happened while Apollos was away in Corinth, Paul made his way down the mountains, came to Ephesus, and happened on some disciples there. The first thing he said was, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Did you take God into your mind only? Or did you also embrace him with your heart? Did he get inside of you?'" Man, how plain can that be? We've never even heard of that. A Holy Spirit, God within us. "How were you baptized then?" Paul asked. "In John's baptism." "That explains it," said Paul. "John preached the baptism, radical life change, so that people would be ready to receive the one coming after him, who turned out to be Jesus. If you've been baptized in John's baptism, you are ready now for the real thing, for Jesus." And my brothers and sisters, I've said it so often, that the power of the gospel is in the simplicity of the gospel. Now, before I start, I just want to remind you of this conference that we're having. I'm not begging for anything. I'm just asking you, if the Lord leads you to donate something, we've got a list at the back with Blanche, from money to eggs to meat to whatever. Please just fill in your name there and we'll follow it up. Thank you very much. Especially the team that God has given us already. I want to thank you. Man, I'll tell you what. It's a powerful lot of women. And we are really so thankful. Thank you very much for cooperating with us there. Now, what I'm going to talk to you about this morning is mostly little things that happened in my life and Delicia's life to help us to grow to what we are today. We've still got a long way to go. But I'm going to talk to you about developing to your true potential. Now, last weekend we heard about Joseph, and I was so amazed at this young man's maturity. He was so young, yet he was so mature. And in spite of all the hardships, he learned precious lessons that he applied to his life. And at the end of his life, I think the same could be said of him, what the Word of God said about King David. He says, "And David fell asleep, knowing he had fulfilled God's purposes with his life." Now, wouldn't you like that to be the epitaph on your tombstone one day. This man has fulfilled God's purposes with his life. My brothers and sisters, and each one of us has to grow to our full potential so that God can use us to fulfill his purposes. Sodat ons, dat die Here kan, dat die Here se doel met jou skepping hier op aarde vervul kan word. Jy is nie maar net hier geplaas nie. God het jou geplaas met 'n spesifieke doel. And it would be so wonderful if each of us can fulfill God's purposes. Now, there are so many things, there's so many things in the scriptures that tells us how to grow to your full potential. And I had the difficulty of leaving some out and putting some in. And however, I had two options. Either I can take one thing and then go into depth with it, trying to explain to you how we can use that to develop to our full potential. Or I could have taken a bird's eye view and chosen a few, and I've chosen the latter. And there are three important facts I want you to keep in mind. And I want you to hold this in your mind, because without these three facts, it is virtually impossible to grow to your full potential. The first fact is this. I want you to hold in your mind that God wants you to grow to your full potential. It is not my wish for you. It is not Yanni's wish for you. God wants you to grow to your full potential. There are many scriptures to prove that. But I just want to mention one fact, and that is the meaning of salvation. It is a many-faceted word. Firstly, it means moving from darkness into light. It means from guilt to forgiveness, from meaninglessness to meaning. And it also means moving into a space, an open space, with unhindered growth. And it is God's wish that his children will grow to their full potential. And when you come to think of it, in the ordinary human level, isn't that understandable? Each one of us would like our children to grow to their full potential. And if you want that for your children, how much more does God want it for each one of us? Now, the first fact is that you have to keep in mind, God wants you to grow and to grow to your full potential. The second fact is, if you keep in mind, is this, and it is equally important, our temperaments can change. If you don't believe that, no growth is possible. Now, temperament, your persoonlikheid, your personality, that is your mental constitution. Dit is hoe jy aan mekaar gesit is. That is the way you act, you live out your life, your temperament. Now, the clever people have identified four temperaments. For those of you who do not know it, I'll just quickly go over it shortly. They have identified four temperaments. You know, that's the first temperament is the phlegmatic temperament, die phlegmatische mense. Now, the phlegmatics are more or less every day the same. They sail on an even keel. Their lives are not up one day and down one day. They might have a ripple effect a little bit, but they are quite stable people. They are very dependable. They have their lives planned. They always travel the same road, do things exactly the same this week as they did last year that week. They do not like impulsive changes in their programs. Now, the negative thing about this is that they easily fall into a rut. And those who are not phlegmatics would say they are not. There's not great excitement in their lives. Now, you know the difference between a rut and a grave. It's only the depth. Eers verskil tussen 'n graf en 'n groef is net die diepte, né? they don't like sudden changes. Now, in the second group, of course, are the sanguines. The sanguines, they want to be everybody's friends. Friends with everybody. They are good starters, but they are bad finishers. They always try to avoid confrontation. Do you know someone like that? They try to avoid confrontation, however badly needed. And they usually exhibit a lack of discipline. Then this third group, the cholerics. Cholerics tend to be very critical. They easily find fault with others and with events and with things. The negative thing is that they could be like an elephant in a potato patch. They'll just walk over you to reach their goals. Then the fourth one is the last one is the melancholics. They tend to see the dark side of life, of everything. They worry a lot, and that could lead sometimes to depression. And the big problem is that they have problem with walking by faith, because they tend to see the dark side. Now, let me be transparent. I am a melancholic. Instead of being, I wouldn't like to be known as a worry pot. I would rather be known as a warrior for Jesus. But I was very much encouraged when I found out that Brother Moses and Winston Churchill were also melancholics. So they do make good leaders. So those are the temperaments. Now God wants us to be temperate. He wants we mustn't be the extreme in temperance. We must show restraint. And some of us, when we look at ourselves, we say, can a leopard change his spots? Or when we look at other people, we say, man, can a leopard change his spots? There she goes again. Her change? Never. She will never change. You might as well buy a farm in Huguenot Road, but for her, change, no hope. My brother and sister, listen, it is possible for us to change. And I can give you a whole list of people who could prove that in their lives. And I think I'm one of them. Although God help me, I've still got a long way to go and maybe very little time left to do it. But your temperament can change. The last fact that I want you to keep in mind is this. It is that growth takes time. 'N mens groei nie oornag nie. Dit vat 'n hele leeftyd vir jou om te groei tot jou volle potensiaal. Some of us, when we begin the Christian life, we look at others and who have gone ahead and we say we want to get there very quickly, overnight. Let me tell you, if you try and do that, you're going to bash your head against a wall. So, take time and please understand that. Now, in Romans 8, Paul holds together two words that are mutually exclusive. He talks about waiting patiently with eager expectation. Now, how do you wait patiently with eager expectation? It is possible, because the word he uses for waiting means craning your neck to see the results. Now, let me tell you, as far as my own growth is concerned, I'm waiting patiently with eager expectation. I'm craning my neck to see the results, but I'm also praying for patience. If you don't do that, you won't grow. Now, keep these three facts in mind. God wants you to grow. Temperament can change, and growth takes time. How then do we grow to our full potential? This must be a biblical number. I've got 3 points. The first one, we need to ask God
to show us what we are like. And we need to face up to what we are like if we are going to grow to our full potential. That is where it all begins. Lord, show me what I am really like. And Lord, help me to own it once you have shown me. Am I lazy? Am I difficult? Am I argumentative? Short-tempered? Moody? Do I suffer from verbal diarrhea? Am I a gossiper? Do I draw people to myself or do I repel people? Show me what I'm really like. Am I meddlesome? Do you have difficulty with unanswered prayer? You pray for something and there's no answer. I have difficulties with answered prayer, and this is one of them. Lord, show me what I'm like. And he does. I wish he wouldn't. I wish he would not. Can I give you a tip? When he shows you what you like, don't call them your weaknesses. Call them sins. Because you can live with weaknesses, but you cannot live with sins. When you call them weaknesses, you get used to them. You call them sins, you want to get rid of them and start growing to your full potential. We talk like this. I know I've got a quick temper, Lord. I know that is one of my weaknesses. But if you were working in the place where I was working, you would have the quick temper as well. It's just one of my weaknesses, you know. Justifying my weaknesses. Lord, show me what I'm like. Am I lazy, Lord? I'm lazy. It is one of my weaknesses. But Lord, when I was a youngster, they were driving me like a donkey. Now I'm relaxing and I'm lazy, Lord. It's one of my weaknesses. Brothers and sisters, it is not a weakness. It's a sin. You have no right to rest in sin. I know one of my weaknesses that I'm touchy, very touchy. Lord, it is one of my weaknesses. Man, Lord, I've got corns sticking out a mile and everybody is tramping on them. But you know, you don't know my background. I mean, if you had my background, you would also be very touchy. That's where we need to begin. You will never grow to your full potential unless you begin there. Lord, show me what I'm like.